This is the Diamond Hogs Podcast with Mason Choate and Robert Stewart.
Welcome to the Diamond Hogs Podcast. I'm your host, Mason Choate, joined by Riley McFerrin, managing editor of Hogbeat.com. I am the publisher of Hogbeat.com. Robert Stewart, not with us on episode 2 of season 5. And I feel like I said it in the last episode, like, we can't count on Robert. He's just not reliable. He's never really been reliable, but he's not going to be on this episode. He's a busy man. But we got a lot to talk about, Riley. Opening weekend is up next for Arkansas. We've got all the information we need. One issue for us in the history of this podcast is we always record before big news comes out. But I think we've got everything we need, Riley. So we got the starting rotation. We talked to Dave Van Horn. Now the biggest news that I think we need to start with is the schedule change. So doubleheader on Friday. No game on Sunday due to freezing temperatures. They're going to play Saturday and Monday as usual. But instead of a 3 p.m. first pitch on Friday, you're now going to have a doubleheader starting at noon. Game 2, 30 to 45 minutes after the conclusion of Game 1. Play Saturday, no game Sunday, and then Monday. Riley, initial thoughts. This is 2 years in a row now. You're having to change the opening weekend schedule due to weather. But, I mean, I feel like we're used to it by now in Fayetteville.
Yeah, we're used to it. I mean, this is kind of the nature of the bipolar weather in Arkansas. I think everybody is kind of used to it at this point. And, I mean, DVH even, I think the team had a doubleheader this last weekend of scrimmaging, so they should be prepared for it too. If you're an Arkansas fan, you've been, you know, praying for Arkansas baseball to come back, you're going to get your wish Friday. Two, I assume, nine-inning scrimmages back-to-back. Should be a fun weekend of baseball.
Not scrimmages. These are real ones, Riley.
Games. Real games. Sorry. Yes. Yeah, we're done with scrimmages, finally.
Yes. Now, according to Whole Hog Sports, this is the first time since 2009 that Arkansas has had an opening day doubleheader, and the team that they played in that opening day doubleheader was also Washington State, according to Whole Hog Sports. I have not fact-checked that. I would assume that it's correct. So this Washington State team that is coming to Fayetteville, interestingly enough, Riley, head coach named Nathan Choate, so no relation there that I know of, but not enough people are talking about that. Let's get that out there in the hemisphere, get the people talking. Washington State starting 12 of their 18, or 12 games in 18 days, all on the road to start their season. That's a nightmare. This is a team that, you know, had a losing record last year, only returned, I think, two relievers or two starters. They didn't return very much at all. We're going to talk about that and get into the Razorbacks, what we saw in the last week in the scrimmages, in the starting rotation, all that good stuff. But as always, before we do, let's tell you about Hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com. When it's the weekend, this weekend, and you want to keep up with everything going on at Baumwalker Stadium, go to Hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com. We are the Rivals website covering your Razorbacks, and as always, I feel like we do the best job out there of covering the Arkansas baseball team. So check us out. We've got our lineup preview series almost done. So if you're listening to this on Thursday, it is done. The Justin Thomas Jr. story is out. That is the starting nine. We're going to go through that here on the episode, but you can check it out on Hogbeat.com. A lot of good stuff, way more than that, stuff about the starting rotation, video from Dave Van Horn, anything you need is there, so check it out. A lot of that stuff is free. Most of our baseball content is free, but there's also plenty of premium stuff, especially with basketball season going on, and spring football starting up soon, Riley. You excited about spring football, my man? Even though you're never available to help anyways.
I'm in baseball mode, okay? I don't even want to talk about football right now. I'm done with the portal, you know. Let's just focus on baseball.
Well, you need to start thinking about football. I mean, we could get an email about a Pittman press conference any day now at this point. So, anyways, Hogbeat.com, check us out. We would really appreciate it. Okay, Riley. So, with it being a four-game series, you got to have four starting pitchers. So, let's go through it. Dave Van Horn announced it on Wednesday, the starting rotation. You know, the four names, as expected, nothing shocking there. The only thing we didn't know is which days would Gage Wood and Landon Beidelschies start. So, Gabe Gackel, your ace, he's going on Friday, first game Friday. I mean, we've talked about Gabe Gackel plenty. A lot to live up to with the ace from last year in Hagen Smith. So, hopefully he can get off to a better start than Hagen Smith did. So, Gabe Gackel going to start game one. You got something to say?
I was going to say, you know, Gabe Gackel, the preseason SEC pitcher of the year, according to Baseball America, I think. And DVH actually said today for Gackel that in his 1.5 years on campus, he's only been hit up once by Arkansas hitters, and that was last weekend, and that he wasn't very happy about it. And following that, Gackel had a very impressive bullpen. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know. I still don't think Gackel will live up to that, you know, pitcher of the year moniker. That's a pretty big leap, but I think he'll be really good, and he'll lead what could be the best pitching staff in the country.
I'm trying to scroll back through and see how Gabe did in that outing because I just didn't remember him getting hit that bad. His first inning, gives up a single to Kojel, a double to Zane Becker, so then he got two on. But then he strikes out Cujillo Aloy, strikes out Reese Robinette, and then Kojel is thrown out at home on a delayed steal. So, I mean, the two hits.
I guess it says something that your worst outing really isn't that bad. So,
Yeah. Well, I haven't gotten, to the rest of what happened. Gackle, I don't know if he gave up any runs. Tyler Holland hit a double off of him. And Tyler Holland, dude, I don't he Dave Van Horn said that he came in as like a walk on almost, and Kojel hit an RBI double off of Gackle. So Kojel had a big weekend last weekend. We're gonna talk about him. Gave up one run. So if
it's not
that's
bad. It's not
yeah.
bad.
Okay. Game two, which is also going to be on Friday. Remember that Zach Root, the transfer from East Carolina. I'm really interested to see how he looks against a different opponent because, he got hit around a little bit in the fall. Not a li I mean, he gave up more hits than any pitcher on the team in the fall. But he's looked better in the spring, leading up to the start of the season here. You look at his numbers last year from East Carolina. We've talked about it, Riley. Not the most impressive numbers, but you got to factor in he was hurt, right? And we don't know how hurt he was, but think about a guy like Brady Tigert, for recent memory, and how much an arm injury or a lingering arm injury can really affect a guy. I mean, I said on this podcast at one point that I thought Brady Tigert was better than Hagen Smith, and that was a long time ago. But at one point, Brady Tigert was like at that level that we were. I said that, and it wasn't crazy. And if you were to say that now, no offense to Brady Tigert, but it is crazy. Because Hagen Smith was the number five pick in the draft.
I mean, I can't blame you. You watch, I'll never forget watching Brady Tigert's breaking ball. I mean, that thing is majestic. It always will be. So, but I want to bring this up really quickly. I like to do player comps, and maybe I'm an idiot for doing that, but I kind of see a little bit of, and maybe this is totally off, Casey Murphy and Zach Root, kind of a low velo lefty. You know, maybe not won't be as good as Casey Murphy. He was really reliable that final year. But, you know, I mean, if everything comes together, could be a dude that you kind of count on. You know what to expect from him. He's not going to blow you away, but he'll have a solid year for the Razorbacks.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's just look at Casey Murphy's last year. 20, hold on. 2018. Yeah, obviously. 2018. 3.2 ERA, 17 starts, threw 101.1 innings, gave up 85 hits, 36 earned, walked 22, struck out 85. I think if you get that out of Zach Root, you're very happy.
Yeah, I think you're extremely happy. That'd be pretty amazing year.
Yeah. Murphy was 6 foot, 200. Let's see what our boy Root is. I think he's 6'2", maybe. He's 6'2", 210. So somewhat similar. All right, good stuff. And game three, so I predicted or I thought that they were gonna go with Landon Beidelschies for game three. It makes sense why they didn't, because they wanted to go right, left. So they went with Gage Wood in game three, which is gonna be played on Sunday, no, S Saturday. Sorry, Sunday is when the freezing temperatures are. Saturday is when the chance of rain is. So they're going to throw Gage Wood on Saturday, and then Landon Beidelschies, the transfer from Ohio State, will get the ball in game four on Monday. So Gage Wood, he looked like old Gage Wood last weekend, Riley, and I want to see if I can pull up his stats here. But while I do that, go ahead and talk about Landon Beidelschies, because this is a guy that I think when they go to Arlington next weekend, you kind of, I mean, depending on how him and Gage would look this weekend, as of right now, I would put Bidalshes as one of the three starting pitchers.
Yeah,
If
and I
it
kind
was a
of
three-game
thought,
series.
right, and I thought after the last weekend of scrimmaging that kind of like you, Bidalgeese would be that third guy. You know, Gage Wood, the problem with Gage Wood has always been his stuff is, you know, he can strike out people, but he's going to give up hits. You know, that's always been his problem, and that's what the problem was last weekend. With Bidalgeese from the Big Ten, okay, Ohio State ace, I think it's always good when your Monday dude, or you know, third guy, whatever, however you want to put it, is was an ace at a previous program. You know, I think he rocked a 4.15 ERA there. So, you know, not the best of the best by any means, but a really solid guy. I think DVHS said that in short outings he can run it up there, maybe upper 90s, but if he starts, maybe a lower 90s guy, so he can last a little bit longer. Just a dude that is talented, has done it before, came from a big program, a northern program. And I agree that, you know, if things kind of play out like maybe we expect it to, it would not be a surprise if he ends up being a starter next weekend in Arlington.
You're really hammering it hard there that he was from the Big Ten in the North, and not, I don't know how many people realize why you're doing that, Riley, because the last episode you screwed up big time. You want to tell the people
I
what you
may
did?
or may not have said that Bidalgeese came from the Big 12 multiple times. That's on me. I feel like it's a simple mistake, but a mistake that shouldn't be made. And so I apologize to all listeners of the Diamond Hawks podcast and to Bidalgeese.
I didn't have a final line on Gage Wood from last weekend, but based on what I'm looking at, who's Helfrich scores, he gave up at least 8 earned runs, I think.
It was bad. I remember keeping up with it as it was happening, and yeah, it was not great.
Through three, he had given up 6 earned on 7 hits, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts, 62 pitches. So, like, if that happens against Washington State, we are seriously concerned. Not, it's hard to say seriously concerned opening weekend, right? Because of what Hagen Smith did last week or last year. So just take everything with a grain of salt, but at the same time, like, if he pieces back to back, bad performances like that together, then you are a little bit worried, and but then you like at least feel a little bit more confident. Let's just lean on Cheese, which is Bidal Cheese, and call it that, and then whatever happens, happens. They got a lot of different options on this team, Riley. You're starting with these four as your starting options. There's so many different names, Colin Fisher, Carson Wiggins, Will McIntyre is a guy who's started a lot of games in the past. Cole Gibler could start games. Hunter Dietz, whenever he gets back. There's just so many different options.
Parker Coyle, another
Parker,
name
yeah.
that had a great spring, you know, maybe he could fit in somewhere.
Tate McGuire is another one, as well. Had a really good summer, starting option there. So a lot of interesting stuff. I'm excited to see how this team looks. I think the most exciting thing is to watch Root and Bidalgeese, especially after last year. So, like, think about it. 2 years ago, you bring in Hunter Holland, a JUCO transfer at pitcher, and he was really freaking good. Like, think about Hunter Holland against LSU twice. I mean, Hunter Holland against that national championship LSU team a couple years ago, I mean, shut him down multiple times. He was that good. Dealt with some injuries, and so that was tough for him. Then you get Mason Molina, who's supposed to be one of the best transfer pitchers in the country last year. He comes in, dealt with injuries himself, but wasn't exactly the dominant guy that we expected. And so we just that makes us all hesitant about Root and Bidalgeese, understandably so. Where are we at on them compared to Molina? Because that's what everybody's doing right now, is like they're just going to be another two Mason Molinas. I think both of them have higher ceilings from what I've seen in scrimmages. I really do. I think both of them, just from what the eye test, I think that they both have higher ceilings. They're both probably a little bit more talented.
Yeah, I agree. The thing with Molina, you know, he started the year fairly strong. I remember his outing against Michigan in Arlington was particularly good, and then just kind of fell off, wasn't very consistent. I'm not really sure what happened there, but whenever he was on, he was good. But I do agree that Root and Bidalgeese do have higher ceilings. I'm still a little worried about Root. You know, again, scrimmages, they're playing the same team over and over again. You know, it's kind of hit or miss when that kind of stuff happens, and he'll probably be a lot better when the season rolls around here this weekend. But I'm still a little bit worried with him. Bidelcheese, I'm honestly more, I guess confident in his ability to go out and get outs. I don't know why. You know, maybe it's just the fact that he's done it at the Power Five level, or sorry, Power Four level before. And you know, he's actually similar in size to Molina. I think I want to say Molina was 6'1", 6'2", 230. I think Bidelcheese is 6'2", 230, something around there. So they have a similar stature. But yeah, no, I agree. Bidelcheese will, in my opinion, probably end up being a better pitcher than Molina was.
Yeah. And I mean, you kind of mentioned it a little bit. He does have more starting experience than Molina. And that's really just from last year. Both of them were guys who Molina was really good his freshman year. Was it Molina or Hudson White that was like Big 12 player of the year as a freshman? It was one of those two. Maybe he was like Big 12 freshman of the year. Maybe it was one of those things, but his freshman year was great. He was a starter as a sophomore. And then transfer to Arkansas, same thing as Bidelcheese. So we shall see. Those are your starters, folks. Let's move it along here on the Diamond Hogs podcast. So obviously we don't have a starting lineup. We did learn that Rocco Pepi is for sure going to be the starting first baseman. That's one of the positions that we've been keeping an eye on for competition. I will say last week in scrimmage, I watched Rocco Pepi at first base. And I mean, he made a couple of good plays. He had one where he made a really nice dig on a throw from Iredale at third, and then had a really high throw from Aloy at shortstop, and had to jump up and get it. Fell back down right on the bag, got the out. Now, I think if there was instant replay, it probably would have been safe. But he goes up, catches it, gets back down on the bag like a first baseman should. People are concerned about his height. He's 5'10" at first base, but from the very limited sample size I've seen, he looked fine. But this is a guy that's been an outfielder, his past few seasons of college baseball at Fresno State and Long Beach State. But he can also hit, Riley. I've been very, very impressed with Rocco Pepi. I mean, of all the transfers, and I didn't get to watch him a lot in the fall because he was hurt. But of all the transfers, and let's just keep it with like actual transfers and not JUCO guys because Iredale is unreal. I mean, Rocco Pepi right now is as impressive as any of them, I would say, at least position players.
Yeah, and I kind of just want to talk about the fact that he's playing first base really quickly. This isn't the first time that Arkansas has ran out a shorter first baseman. You know, think back to Trevor Ezell. Peyton Stovall played some first base, so Rocco Pepi just the next in line there. And I have, you know, we might get to bold predictions a little bit later. Maybe this isn't that bold, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it since we're talking about him. My leading what I think will happen in, you know, just among transfers, the leading batting average, I think, will be held by Rocco Pepi. You know, some might say Logan Maxwell. You know, Brent Iredale, I guess you could, you know, I mean, he did transfer from the JUCO ranks, but you wouldn't necessarily think of him as a transfer. I think it'll be Rocco. I mean, great name, big bat. What's not to love about him?
Yeah. Rocco Pepi in the preseason, according to stats compiled by some local media, we had him with 8 hits and 25 at bats. He had a double, a triple, 3 homers, drove in 5 runs, scored 8, walked 3 times, and only struck out once.
And one of those homers was a, I think, a first pitch swinging against Gage Wood that went 400 plus feet. Am I wrong about that?
Probably, yes. Oh, we got them listed right here. February 8th, 420 feet, 103 miles an hour off the bat.
It's not bad.
His first one was 364-97 and barely snuck it over the into the bullpen and left. I can't remember who that was off of. Maybe Gabe Gackel, but he just like went down and golf swinged it almost, and that was also an impressive hit. So Rocco Pepi is an interesting one for us. We've got him projected at sixth in the lineup, and that's kind of just based on the scrimmage lineups we've seen. So let's go through it here, Riley. We have a Hogbeat lineup breakdown series on hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com. Literally a story dedicated to every single one of these guys to break them down and tell you what we've seen, quotes from the coaches or from Dave Van Horn, and We got some video on some of them. Everything that you need to know is on hogbeat.com. So go check it out because it's way more in depth than what we're going to talk about. In the one hole, leading off, Charles Davalan. That's what we're going to go with. I think it might be Davalon. Here we go again.
I mean, it's tradition. We're gonna mess up a name. You know, it is what it is.
I've already looked at some of the names for Washington State, so get ready. We're projecting him in center, and let's go ahead and say it. The 2025 Arkansas baseball Moneyball guy is going to be Charles Davalan, transfer from Florida Gulf Coast University, native of Canada. He's a lot of fun. I think you're going to like him. And so we're naming him the Moneyball guy. Again, no Moneyball clips because I'm not on my Twitter anymore. Screw that. Visit the Arkansas Rivals Twitter, though. That's where I'm at. It's just Arkansas Rivals on Twitter. So if you want to check out my work and the Moneyball stuff, which I'm not going to be posting, but Charles Davalan, our Moneyball guy, the leadoff guy. Number two, Vejeva Aloy at shortstop, Riley.
Vejeva
Preseason.
Aloy.
Not enough preseason love for Vejeva Aloy, if you're asking me, man.
He was listed on the Golden Spikes preseason list with Gabe Gackle, I believe.
Yeah,
I
but
want
I
to
mean,
say he
like, dude,
was.
KJ Jefferson was like on every preseason watch list ever.
What did D1 Baseball have him ranked as? The 12th best shortstop coming into the year, I believe. I
Yeah.
think, if everything goes to plan, if he, makes that jump that I think everybody is kind of expecting, I think he could end up being a lot higher on that list. Led the team in home runs last year. I have another bold prediction incoming. I guess I'll go ahead and say it. I think for the first time since the 2017 season when Chad Spanberger did it, Arkansas will finally have someone eclipse that 20 home run mark. I think Vejeva Aloy will do it. He's got, I mean, we all know about the bat. I mean, I want to say he hit the scoreboard in a scrimmage recently with a
He
home run.
did.
So he's got the power. I also want to say he hit an Oppo home run
Well, that's
fairly
the thing.
recently.
That's what people like. If you just like picture in your head him hitting a ball off the scoreboard, that's an opposite field home run for Vejeva Aloy. I don't know if I remember him doing that at all last year. Like,
No, most home runs I remember were definitely pull side.
yeah. So, I mean, and he's been great in the field, and now he was great in the field last year. So Vejeva Aloy, excited about him. That D1 baseball list, I wanted to bring that up because usually D1 baseball, like we can all admit, they're pretty good. I was okay with Aloy at 12. The pitcher rankings were so weird because they had Gage Wood as the number 30 preseason starting pitcher and Cheese as 103.
Yeah, I almost wonder if they're th maybe thinking he could play more of a reliever role here, and that came into their thought process. But no, I totally disagree with that ranking.
Yeah, it's got to be that. And speaking of that, I want to pull up my Vital Sheets story because I remember they said something about D1 Baseball had him as like a top five transfer, and I have it in my story. Oh, here we go. Maybe I don't have it in this story. Oh, here we go. Vital Sheets was rated as D1 Baseball's fifth best impact transfer pitcher. But they have him as the 103rd best starter. I just don't get that. They also had Carson Wiggins as the 14th best reliever and Christian Fauch at 15. I mean, I get what they're
Yeah, I don't
doing.
know.
I understand what they're doing. It just doesn't make sense. But I know what they're trying to do. They're saying like Carson Wiggins is a better prospect than Christian Fauch, which honestly, like that's still saying a lot at this point because Christian Fauch throws 101, so does Carson Wiggins, so. Anyways, number three, Logan Maxwell, the transfer from TCU. Last time he played on this field, Riley, he was knocking off the Arkansas Razorbacks in the 2022, 2023 Fayetteville Regional. And then Kansas, no, and then
It
SEMO
was
knocked him off.
2023.
Yeah,
Yeah, in
2023.
Kansas State it was 2024, but SEMO did knock them off, yeah.
Yeah. So Logan Maxwell, a guy, we're projecting him in right field. Dave Van Horn has said this guy can flat out hit. Oh, I wanted to mention with Davalon, he made two diving plays in center field last weekend that were very impressive. And one of them, he made the diving play, and then the very next play, fields a ball in center, throws the guy out at third. So, I mean, those were some impressive plays by him in center. Wanted to make sure I mentioned that. Maxwell, also going to have him in the outfield. We're projecting him in right. But I mean, he could play right or left. I mean, he can play at all spots, but we're projecting him in right field four.
And very
Go ahead.
quickly on Maxwell, sorry to interrupt you. He's kind of dealt with that hamstring issue here recently. DVH did say, as of right now, he's 90%, and that if they play today, he would start. Now, whether that would be as a DH or in the field is kind of up in the air. But DVH did, confirm that he's fine, he'll be fine. But we'll kind of just have to wait and see. Maybe he'll be better by Friday. What position he plays in the field.
Yeah, good point to add there. I think I missed that. Number four, batting cleanup. We got Brent Iredale, the transfer from New Mexico Junior College. Now, you picked Aloy as your guy who's gonna break the streak of 20 plus home runs. If I'm gonna pick a guy on this team, I'm going with Brent Iredale, man. And
That's fair.
he, I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried because it's here we go again. We got like this preseason guy that. He was here in the fall and he was raking, and I just don't know if he's going to get off to a hot start. I don't know if this team in general is going to get off to a hot start. We know how the weather affects everything and all that good stuff. So, Iredale, native of Australia, he was playing in New Mexico last year. The weather's going to get to him a little bit, I would assume. So, but I'll say one thing about Iredale. I'd check this. I've seen him make one bad play in the field. He made an error last weekend. And I wouldn't call it like an egregious error. Other than that, he has been money at third base. Like, I haven't seen him make a bad throw. So,
Can I make another prediction? I know I have a lot of them, but
yeah,
I've really put a lot of thought.
Riley predictions McFerrin.
You've kind of already brought it up, but I do believe Brent Iredale will break the streak of hitters that were hyped up in the preseason and kind of started slow. It was what's his
Caleb
name? Oh, I can't
Cowley.
remember. There it is, Caleb Cowley, and then Vejiva last year. I think Brent Iredale. I'm not saying he's going to come out and hit, 400 with five bombs the opening weekend or anything, but I think he'll be a little more steady to start the year.
Yeah. I mean if he's gonna do it against anybody, it's gotta be this Washington State pitching staff. We're gonna get into it, which we need to. Five, Kendall Diggs. We got him listed at DH. If Maxwell can't play in the field, you would think that Diggs would be an option in the outfield. Seems healthy. He's been hitting the ball like vintage Kendall Diggs in the preseason. Like kind of the Kendall that we saw 2 years ago when he led the team in RBIs. I think that he's swinging the bat better than he did last year for sure. We mentioned Rocco Pepi, Nolan Souza after Pepi in the seven hole. We got him as the starting second baseman, Riley. But and I don't think he has anything to worry about right now. But man, did Cam Kojal have a heck of a weekend last weekend after we roasted him on this podcast. We didn't roast him. We were just like, where's the guy that transferred in from Vanderbilt? 'Cause he wasn't doing anything, and then last weekend, man, he took off.
Yeah, Cam Kojal, I think at some point in the year he's gonna, if he doesn't make his way in the lineup, I kind of see him, maybe I'm off again. I have another player comp here. I know, surprise, surprise. I'm thinking maybe a Charlie Welch type role. Like maybe he can never quite fit into anywhere defensively and he's that pinch hit guy that you can really rely upon. But I could totally see him, making his way into the field. And DVH even brought up, if necessary, there could be a position change there for him. He's usually a second baseman. Maybe he moves into left field. I think Peyton Holt, kind of like a similar thing with Peyton Holt too. He always had issues with where he'd be able to play. I think he plays some left field. So maybe we see something like that for Charlie, or not Charlie Welch, Cam Kojal.
Yeah. You just hope that it doesn't end up being a situation like 2 years ago, when you had at shortstop John Bolton and Harold Cole. And
Oh
you just
man, let's not talk about him.
I don't know if it's fair to compare this because I think Nolan Souza and Cam Kojal are better than both of those guys. But you're kind of you look at Souza, he's more like Harold Cole, maybe on offense, he's going to swing for the fences more than you'd like him to, but that, the ceiling offensively is great and he's super athletic. Whereas you got Kojal, a smaller guy who maybe might be a little bit more consistent at the plate, which I wouldn't say John Bolton was, but maybe a better defender. I don't know. So we'll just see how that works itself out. But entering the season, Nolan Souza, for sure, your starting second baseman. Super athletic dude.
Bold prediction time. I have another bold prediction.
Oh my
I'm
gosh, here
going to
we
say it.
go.
Nolan, I mean, listen, DVH has gone on and on about how he wants his team to be a little more offensively versatile. I think Souza is going to kind of be the leading charge of that. Again, I could be way off here. I probably will be. I think Souza could finish top five in the SEC in stolen bases this season. Now, he may be too good of a hitter to do that. He may hit too many doubles and too many home runs. I don't know. But I have a feeling he's going to turn a lot of singles into doubles this season.
Yeah. That's a good prediction. They like to run him, so we'll see there. Eight hole, we got Ryder Helfrich, who, I mean, you can make the argument he's as important as any player on this roster. I really think so. Because of the depth at the catcher position. And Zane Becker, I feel better about Zane Becker than I did 3 weeks ago. Or really just whenever we last recorded this podcast, I feel better about Zane Becker. So that's worth noting, but still, I mean, you're going from Ryder Helfrich to an unproven freshman or a JUCO transfer in Elliot Peterson, who raked last year but hasn't done anything that I've seen since he's got on campus that would make me think that he would be an impact player.
Yeah, and this is the same Ryder Helfrich that DVH labeled as potentially the best receiver in the country. So
Yeah. So that and DVH basically said like that could win you 5 or 6 games in a season. Just having a catcher that can spot it up and steal you some strikes. So in the nine hole, we're projecting Justin Thomas Jr., the JUCO transfer from Florida Southwest. I would say this position, and it's hard to say like left field. We're projecting him in left field, but just one of the outfield spots. Justin Thomas Jr. I don't know, man. I haven't seen him hit that well, but he's super athletic. He's a great fielder. I haven't seen him hit well. That's why he's in the nine hole. He's super athletic though. And I just wonder if this is going to be another example of like just a guy that they have in the lineup that you're just going to have to keep him there just because of, you know, what he presents defensively and when he gets on base. Similar to what Zach Gregory was a few years back.
yeah, and whenever Justin Thomas, whenever I was kind of thinking about what the lineup might look like this offseason, I didn't really think Thomas was going to fit into that equation. In terms of a position maybe that could be taken, I mentioned it before, maybe a Cam Kozel sneaks up and takes left field, who knows, or a corner outfield spot. We'll see how it plays out. But yeah, I mean, DVH has said, Thomas is really streaky. Good defender, everything else, he has all the intangibles. It's just about hitting for him. And so if he can kind of get hot to start the year, I think that'd be big for his confidence going forward.
Yeah. We talked about Kojal, some other names to watch for guys who could get in the lineup. Brenton Clark, you know, at catcher. Or not, I'm sorry, not Brenton Clark. Zane Becker at catcher. Brenton Clark's the freshman outfielder who had a great fall. Haven't seen a lot from him this preseason. Kuhio Aloy, younger brother of Vejeva, who DVH said has the best exit velocity of anybody on the team, a la Jason Jones. So that doesn't say everything that you think it does, but let's hope that he has a better impact than Jason Jones did at Arkansas. So Vejeva Aloy, Michael Anderson, the transfer from Rhode Island, just a big dude, 6'3", 230, swings the bat well. He's another option. He could play first. So yeah, I think that they've got a little bit more options, but I'll tell you what, Riley, when you look at some of the lineups across the SEC and then you look at Arkansas, and some of these guys are unproven. A lot of these guys haven't played in the SEC. It worries you. It's a good lineup, but you look around the SEC, man, and it's
It's a
just
good
loaded top to bottom.
right, it's a
Every
good
team.
lineup. But then you go look at Tennessee's lineup and they have guys who might, could probably hit 15 home runs each plus, maybe more. And that's a small ballpark, but just as an example, and Tennessee, I'm looking on Twitter and they just got a transfer from Tampa who played at North Carolina last year, Albert Osuna, I think is his name.
Yeah.
Who can absolutely mash. We'll see if he's even eligible, but it's just one of those situations where the rich get richer. And Arkansas fans complained all offseason about not going and getting guys with power. Well, we'll see what happens, but I get the hesitancy from fans and about the offense maybe improving a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the offense will probably be better than it was last year. I think that this team has less of an opportunity for the offense to really just lose you games like it did last year. Like they lost a lot of games because they couldn't hit, and they were just like, let's just hope that Hagen gets us on Friday and we can piece it together in one of the next two games. And I think that they're not going to have to do that as much this year. And part of that's just because the pitching staff's better overall. Injuries occur, so you got to think about that. But yeah, man, you look at some of these names. Jace LaViolette, he's still at A&M. Dean Curley at Tennessee. Ike Irish at Auburn still. Ethan Petrie at South Carolina. RJ Austin at Vandy. Andrew Fisher at Tennessee. Like, the Jared Jones is still at LSU somehow. My goodness. Colby Shelton's at Florida. These are names that if you watch SEC baseball, you should know these names. And it's another loaded league. Bryce Fowler at Alabama, who some people think he might be playing center field for Arkansas this year, but inside joke. All right, Riley, let's move on to Washington State. Before we do, I'm going to present you with an opportunity here, and I need you to really take advantage of this opportunity, okay? So get ready. We're going to let Riley do the ad read for hogbeat.com off the top of his head, Riley. So give it to us. Give us your best sales pitch for hogbeat.com.
Hogbeat.com. If you guys want to find the best coverage of the big three, football, basketball, baseball, daily coverage, premium coverage, everything you need to know about the Razorbacks, go to hogbeat.com. You can subscribe for a month, for a year. You're going to get your the best coverage. You'll also be a part of the best community, the Trough Premium Message Board, if you want to talk with fans every day. Fans with similar mindsets, maybe you'll get into arguments sometimes. That's kind of the charm of the Trough. You can subscribe to hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com, hogbeat.com. Subscribe a month, a year. Baseball's right around the corner. If you're looking for the best baseball coverage in Arkansas, hogbeat.com is your destination.
I give you a 6 out of 10. Not bad. Good job.
I'll take that for first time.
Okay, let's get into previewing these Washington State Cougars, who, by the way, are not going to be part of the Pac-12 this year. Worth noting, Washington State is going to play in the Mountain West. So, all the conference realignment, getting down to baseball now, Riley. So, the Washington State went 21-32 last year, 9-21 in Pac-12 play, and they do not return a lot of their talent.
Yeah, and in the Mountain West now, and like you mentioned, the league's coaches actually picked them to finish third behind Fresno State and Nevada. I want to say they received one first place vote. You know, I don't really know that much about the Mountain West. Obviously, probably a weaker conference than what the Pac-12 was, so they'll probably have a better season. But yeah, I mean, you look at last year's schedule, the only Pac-12 series that they won was against Arizona State. So, not great.
Hey, you know who's on Arizona State though? Former Razorback Sean Fitzpatrick. So shout out Fitzy, we miss you, buddy. Nathan Choate, head coach of this Washington State Cougars team. Now, reading their preview on D1 Baseball. One returning starter in the batting order and just two relievers from the pitching staff off of last year's team. The guy that Nathan Choate says is, pitcher of the year. When asked by D1 Baseball, he says Griffin Smith. Do you have a breakdown on Griffin Smith, Riley? I know you got your scouting
I
report.
don't have a crazy good breakdown. I do have his stats pulled up. A Rock Valley Community College implant, went 11-0 last year, 1.99 ERA, pitched 77 innings in 13 games, gave up 52 hits, 17 earned runs, and had 113 strikeouts compared to 13 walks. So he did it at the JUCO level, but going up and facing Arkansas is a whole different beast.
Yeah. Now, this is a team that has a lot of JUCO players from what I can tell. You look up and down, and this is a lot of players who are going to play from JUCO. The Saturday and Sunday starter spots, according to D1 Baseball, are going to be for Luke Myers. And do you have this name pulled up, or do I need to say it? Because I love when you pronounce the names.
No, I'm wait. For which starting
Ingmar?
spot?
Ingmar? Can you see him? You see Ingmar's name? Ingmar Hutsetson is what I'm
And
going to go with.
which day is this for?
Sunday. Is he not on the roster?
Well, Washington State actually announced their official starting rotation,
Oh, do they
and
really?
they did. And so Friday they are rocking with Griffin Smith. Saturday, Nick Lewis. Well, I guess not Sunday now. So it'll be Friday, Griffin Smith and Nick Lewis, and then Saturday, Luke Myers, with the Monday game being a TBA.
Okay.
I do know the name you're referencing because I did look at the D1 baseball breakdown, and I decided not to attempt to pronounce it. So.
Yeah, probably a good call. They say Myers is very athletic and change speeds in any count. A couple of transfers from JUCO and Bryce Chambers, Jake Robinson. Let's see, what else we got? The only returnee who figures into the plans is right-hand pitcher Caden Wickersham Riley. What do we know about
Caden, I
him?
mean, that is a great name. Wickersham had a 5.06 ERA and 32.1 innings pitched last year. From what I can see, he's expected to be the closer. So him and then the other returning reliever that they have, who didn't really amount to much last season, is what's his name? Right-handed pitcher Rylan Halder. He had an 11.25 ERA in 14 appearances last year. Probably a smaller role for him going forward. But yeah, Caden Wickersham. I expect Arkansas will see him at some point, and a great name.
So, the lone returning full-time starter from the lineup is outfielder Max Hartman. And then at catcher, they have this guy, Will Criswell, who made 23 starts last season, and it looks like he's going to be the starting catcher as well. So those are two guys that you can kind of build off of, but the rest of the lineup, Riley, seems like it's just a ton of new faces, which is, I mean, pretty similar to Arkansas.
Yeah, and DVH kind of talked about what his scouting report for Washington State will look like, and he just said it's going to be brief. You know, kind of the same with us. I mean, we don't really know a lot about the team. It's hard to know a lot about a team when they have so many JUCO players. You can't really find video on them. And so it'll kind of just be maybe they'll play that first game, make some adjustments, take some notes like DVH mentioned, and then kind of adjust throughout the weekend. So a lot of new faces for Washington State. Maybe that's probably a good thing considering how they played last year.
Yeah, and you know these opening weekend series are always interesting because of the newness. It's the first time you're seeing another opponent in forever. You know, Arkansas's a lucky team. You were able to host Oklahoma State in the fall, so you know that helps you a little bit. But that was just 2 days against another team that is still trying to figure stuff out. So it should be interesting. I wonder how much weather is going to affect things for both teams. You know, Washington State. I mean, they're coming from a very northern region, probably as north as you can get. And so I doubt that the weather is going to affect them that much, you know. I don't even know what their baseball setup looks like up there. Maybe they practice all indoors.
I'm
They
going
probably
to
have to.
assume I believe I read that Washington State practiced in the football, like whatever
Really?
setup they have up there in Washington State, they had to practice with their facilities.
Wow. Okay. Max Hartman was a preseason All Mountain West selection, by the way. So that's worth noting.
I do want to say a good test for Arkansas. You know, I think this happens at the beginning of every season. Arkansas will face a team with a bunch of low 90s, high 80s guys, and it's just not fun to watch. It's going to be cold. DVH even said Washington State doesn't have many overpowering arm types. So, you know, a pretty good test. We're going to see if this Arkansas team is, you know, improved offensively from a year ago.
Yeah. All right. Well, any more bold predictions from you, Riley? I feel like you had a ton. You probably got some more ready to go here.
Maybe not super bold. I will say my SEC winner, just as a whole, Texas A&M. You know, they return, and that's
Shaw.
kind of chalk. It's chalk. I
Shaw.
know it is.
Come on.
I know. I know.
I'm gonna
And
preseason number one team in the country to win the SEC. Really bold there, Riley.
Texas A&M will defeat Arkansas at home to earn that. I believe Arkansas will lose that series, but and I know Arkansas fans are very annoyed at me right now. However, I do have Arkansas beating Texas 2-1 and sweeping Tennessee to close the year. I just think so much hype is going to be going into that weekend. And I kind of compare it to a couple years ago when Arkansas hosted Mississippi State at home. Mississippi State, I want to say, was like number three in the country at the time. They swept them. So I'm kind of thinking something similar. Arkansas's kind of struggled to close the year. They usually, you know, they don't really have a ton of success. And I just think now's the time.
I want to say that series against Mississippi State was on the road.
I just remember, I want to say Casey Martin hit a inside the park home run or something
Yeah, it
at
was
home against Mississippi State.
this was during the 2021 series. Casey Martin was not on that team. They swept at number two Mississippi State. I mean, Casey Martin was pre-COVID. So, I don't know. That was a road series. It's really not a big deal. Bold predictions. I like your bold predictions. It's worth noting. SEC, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the 2018, wait, yes, 2018, 2019 schedule. Arkansas played number two Mississippi State at home and swept. And that
Okay.
Casey Martin was on that team, I believe. So
I didn't go that far back, but that makes sense.
unbelievable.
Yeah. Preseason SEC coaches poll. Let's knock some of this stuff out here. So Arkansas predicted to finish third in the SEC behind A&M and Tennessee. Worth noting, the Razorbacks did receive the second most first place votes behind A&M. So A&M got 10 first place votes. Arkansas got three. And then Tennessee, LSU, and Florida all got one each. So that's worth noting. Preseason SEC players for Arkansas, Gabe Gackel, preseason first team All-SEC. Christian Fouch, preseason second team All-SEC. And Landon Bielsches, preseason second team All-SEC. So these preseason award or these preseason honors list has been Gackel has been consistent. He was a unanimous on all of them. Root's been on a few. Bielsches has been on a few. Who else? Fouch, maybe.
Fouch was actually just named to the NCBWA Preseason Stopper of the Year award watch list. So
Yep.
there you go.
Who else has been? I think Aloy was on a list, maybe. I don't want to disrespect anybody here. So, but other than that, so that's what's going on there. The preseason SEC, about right. I mean, the league's just going to be so tough again. I'm trying to pull up the promotion schedule because they got a lot coming up this weekend. I think there's a promotion for every game.
Well, while you're pulling that up, I'll go ahead and give the fans more predictions that I've kind of conjured up because I know they're waiting to hear them. Already said a couple of them, but leading the team in ERA, Chalk, Gabe Gackel. Leading in strikeouts, however, and this could be very wrong. You know, we already kind of talked about it. Gage Wood. Gage Wood last year struck out 56 and only walked 8. He's a strikeout machine. He just gives up too many hits. I think if he puts it all together, it's why it's a bold prediction. He could lead the team in strikeouts this year. So there you go.
That's a bold prediction, because I don't think there's a chance that's going to happen at all. But there you go. That's what I'm talking about, Riley. That's more bold than picking A&M to win the SEC, which I don't think that necessarily you were saying that's a bold
To
prediction.
be fair, that wasn't bold. That was just my overall prediction.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Anything else to add here? I'm sorry. I wanted to do promotion. Game one. Which is, I guess they're gonna have to do promotions, two promotions in a day now. Game one, Friday, 2025 schedule magnet to all fans. Game two, baseball beanie, first 1,000 fans. Gonna be interesting to see how they do that, if they're gonna ask people to leave the ballpark or not. And then Sunday, you got Bark in the Park, or no, not Sunday anymore. So are they gonna do Bark in the Park Saturday now? Did they
Good
say this in the
question.
email? I was going to bring
I did
my
not read
dog for
the
Bark in the
email, so
Park.
it's going to be really rainy. You know, we'll have to see.
Oh no. I mean the rain, it's less than a 50% chance of rain on Saturday now. Sorry, this is just bad radio. I'm trying to see if they Oh, here we go. Updated opening weekend giveaways and events. Schedule magnet remains as originally scheduled. Bark in the Park postponed Monday. They were supposed to have kids run the bases, and that has also been postponed. Why? That doesn't make
It's
sense.
too dangerous, man. I don't know. Who knows?
Okay. Well, I'm excited, man. It's always good to be at Baum Walker. You know, it's so much. The scrimmages are awesome, but when the games are actually going on, and you smell the food, and you go get the pulled pork fries, and you can smell the kettle corn, and you get the free drinks up in the press box because they don't give us drinks during scrimmages. And you get actual TrackMan stats instead of having to try to like sneak a look over at the screen. Like everything is just better when it's the real season. So I'm excited. And then next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend, we're going to Arlington, Riley. I'm excited,
Man,
dude.
can't wait. It's always fun going to Arlington. Such a great atmosphere. We'll talk more about it, later, but gonna be a fun weekend up there. Down there,
Okay.
I should say.
Well, let's give the people a little bit of a treat here before we leave. Now, you've done a lot of your predictions. Let's just go through and do some stat leaders, okay? Home runs. I'm going to take Brent Iredale.
Vehiva Aloy.
Hits.
Ooh, that is tough. Logan Maxwell.
Logan Maxwell.
Yep, he's Robert brought it up last week. He's only gotten better every year. And I think he'll lead the team in hits. We'll see.
Okay. I'm trying to see how many hits Kendall Diggs had 2 years ago. He had 60, which was second on the team behind Borfin, who had 68. I'm gonna go Kendall Diggs. I'm saying Kendall Diggs will lead the team in hits this year. I just think he's such a pure hitter, man. Like, he just knows how to hit the ball.
If he rebounds and leads the team and hits again, that would be pretty huge for the team.
Yep. And DVH said as much, that if Diggs didn't get hurt last year, he'd be in spring training right now. So, let's see. We did hits, we did home runs. Let's do RBI. Runs batted in.
Vehiva Aloy.
You're gonna go Aloy. I think
I
if I'm
kind of
gonna,
have to if he's hitting the
yeah.
most home runs,
Well, I think I'm just gonna go with Diggs again. He led the team 2 years ago. I'm gonna go with Diggs there. Let's go with hit by pitches. Who's gonna get hit by the most pitches, Riley?
Oh, man. That's a tough one. You go first. Let me think about that for a second.
I'll take Maxwell on this one. Didn't he get hit by a ton of pitches last year?
He may have. I feel like I do recall that.
There's one transfer here. They got hit by a ton of pitches last year. Who do you have for me here?
Oh, man, I'm gonna go with Rocco Pepi. I don't know why. I'm just gonna say him.
Paco Repi.
Yes.
Maxwell only hit by six pitches last year. Maybe it was Charles Davalon. Charles Davalon. If it's not Davalon, I'm not going to keep looking. Davalon was hit by 20 pitches last year.
That is really tough because I was about to say him and I just didn't.
I'm changing my pick to Davalon because that's who I was thinking about. I was thinking about Davalon. I said Maxwell. And it's okay to get them confused right now. The season hasn't started.
He's got that Juan Soto
He
thing
does
going
have the
on,
Juan
so
Soto.
that should be fun.
The Juan Soto. Stolen bases, you picked Nolan Sosa. I love saying that Vejeva Aloy led the team in stolen bases last year, but he's not going to do it this year. I'll go Davalon. I'll go Davalon.
A good one.
Davalon. Let's see. Strikeouts. You predicted Gage Wood. Are you like, is that your prediction, though?
That's my bold prediction. My official prediction, I'm gonna say Gackle. I
It's
mean,
got to be Gackle. We
it's
can't.
too easy.
Yeah. Saves. Bouch,
Oh
probably.
man.
Probably
Yeah,
going to come
Fouch
down.
is. I don't know though. DVH said that, Fouch. Well, they might see on two times a weekend. Probably won't be back-to-back days. I think he kind of had a rough outing last weekend. It's only one outing, obviously, and I think he's going to be really good. I'll say Fouch. That's a fair answer.
Bouch. I think Carson Wiggins is one. Now, here's a bold one, Gage Wood. At some
I was
point,
just thinking that.
whenever
Yeah,
Gage
could be.
Wood gets relegated to the bullpen again, if Gage Wood gets relegated to the bullpen, I think that he will just become the closer. And that's, I don't know, we'll see. I'll go with Gage Wood. That's going to be my prediction for saves. Let's see, one more here. Let's get one more stat. You got one that you want? Errors,
Ooh.
strikeouts, not like strikeouts at the plate.
Right.
Or ERA, who leads the team in ERA? I feel like you kind of want to go Gackle. It's hard with relievers.
In terms of a starting pitcher, Gackle, reliever. Ooh. Hear me. No. Okay, this is a bold prediction. Reliever, very bold on it. I don't think this will happen at all. Give me Will McIntyre. I feel like I have
No.
to name drop him at some point. Will McIntyre making the big jump.
Okay. I'll do Parker Coyle of the relievers. I don't think he's gonna be one of their necessarily like go-to or top guys, but I just feel like he doesn't really give up a ton of runs. So I'll go with Parker Boyle.
And some may laugh at the Will McIntyre pick, but there was a point last year where he had a sub 2 ERA.
Yeah, he really hit a
And
wall.
then he
I
fell
mean,
apart.
we there he at one point he was Will Iron Man McIntyre to the point where he changed his walk-up song to Iron Man. It used to be what
Return of
was
the
it?
Mac,
Yeah,
right?
Return of the Mac. That's what it was. So we haven't talked about Sounds of Bomb. We got to talk about that. You have any thoughts
Yeah.
on Sounds of Bomb?
I think I'm a little maybe nostalgia biased to the 2017-18 year. That was kind of my big introduction to Arkansas baseball. And so a lot of my favorite ones are from that year. I'm honestly not a big fan. There's not really one that I do like Logan Maxwell's. I don't remember the song, but I do remember liking it. But no, as a whole, I don't know. I'm not that thrilled with any.
It's just like, and I'm gonna sound like a freaking loser, dude, but there's just too much rap music that I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not a big rap guy. So, yeah, I listen to most and it's whatever, but most of them won't get me hyped up, you know. So.
Yeah. I will say I love that Vaheva Aloy and Kuhio Aloy, they both have songs that are by this guy named, I think it's Maoli. And they're both like island songs that they're country boys.
I want to say Sousa had one like that too. Maybe I'm misremembering. I thought he did.
Sousa's is World of Music. It is like an island song, but
Okay.
Aloy's is country reggae. And then, or Vaheva's, I'm sorry. They're both Aloy. Vaheva and Cujillo's is country boy. So here, I'll play them. Let me see if you can hear it.
July, you're not 57.
Not the best, but you know,
Hold
I
on,
think you
let
can
me
kind of
turn
get the
the. I
gist
can't
of
get it
it.
off. Let's just stop. Okay. That was Cujillo. So we got copyrighted a few years ago for doing that, by the way. Hopefully that doesn't happen again.
Probably for the best. The audio wasn't the best.
It wasn't good. Dang it.
It was a little patchy.
Okay. Oh, you know who has the best walk-up song is Gackle, for sure.
Remind me, what is the song?
It's Wherever I May Roam by Metallica. I mean,
Okay,
you just play
that's fair.
that and you're the starting pitcher and that's playing. It's like when Cronin had, oh, I can't think.
Oh,
Cronin's
yeah,
walk-up song was another one that was, it's just like an
it was
intimidating
electric.
song, you know. Okay. Anything else here, Riley? I always love doing this podcast. This is such a fun time. This is our favorite time of the year. We appreciate everybody who's listening. 5 years. This is the fifth season of it. Not everybody can keep it going for 5 seasons, as you've seen. So we appreciate everybody who has helped us do this. And we're excited for the fifth season, man. And Riley's a part of it now. Riley is just part of the show now. You're no longer just Riley McFerrin. You're on the show because we need you. You're part of the show, man. Welcome to the pod.
Yeah, it's great. I love talking Arkansas baseball. I love talking to the fans. And should we maybe close it out with a where Arkansas will finish the year?
Like
Our
record.
prediction. Maybe not a record, but just, you know, tournament, where they end up.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to not every year just pick Omaha.
It is because it's very Omaha or bust, I think, for most people when it comes to this team. I'm just gonna say they make it past their regional. I know, I feel like maybe fans have taken it for granted a little bit the last 2 seasons now. But it's hard. Like, it's hard moving on. So I think Arkansas will kind of break that streak and get past their regional.
I was thinking super regional in my head, just because it's hard to predict Omaha, at after 2 years in a row, saying that they're gonna go to Omaha, and not necessarily feeling like this team is just worlds better than the past 2 years' teams.
Yeah,
I don't.
and I think every team, including this one, has the pieces to make it to Omaha. Like, they
Oh
can,
yeah.
but will that happen is a completely different story. But I am confident. I do not think a purple team, I do not think East Carolina is coming in and beating Arkansas this season. We'll just say
Well, I mean, you're just forgetting about Grand Canyon, dude. And here's the thing.
that.
Think about Grand Canyon, TCU, and Kansas State. Just for a second here before we end the podcast. All three of those teams have very similar logo styles. The three letters, KSU, TCU, GCU, they're all purple. All of their logos are kind of like that slanted almost lettering of the three letters. Kind of freaky. You just hope that it doesn't
kind
happen.
Kind of conspiracy, like, I mean, very superstitious. That is weird. I'd never even thought about it like that. I don't know. That is really strange.
So that's going to be my bold prediction is, I won't say Grand Canyon knocks Arkansas out of the Fayetteville Regional, but I'll say
It could be ECU.
ECU is another one, but their logo isn't as similar looking. So I'll say my final bold prediction, Grand Canyon University is going to travel Fayetteville for the Fayetteville Regional. How about that? Even though that's not really a regional for them. They don't keep that anymore anyways. They don't actually regionals. They do. I'm sorry. They do for the most part.
I did see, I don't remember what publication had it. They did a preseason field of 64, and I want to say they had like West Virginia and Louisville in the Arkansas regional, which I thought was interesting. So,
I mean, Arizona was in it. So, and that's
true.
Grand
So Grand Canyon.
Canyon
could very well be in it.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, Arkansas and Grand Canyon were in a regional in 22 together in Stillwater. So, all right, let's wrap it up there. Who knew that we were going to talk that much Grand Canyon baseball on this podcast? But we appreciate everybody listening. We'll be back next week. As we mentioned on the first episode, if you missed it, and if you're still here at the very end of the episode right now, we're only doing one episode a week this season. Usually we did two in the past. We did one on Mondays and then one the day before the series. Just not going to do that this year. Too much going on. The content of Arkansas Baseball podcast is flooded. Everybody thinks that they know what they're talking about, but not always do they know what they're talking about. So we appreciate y'all who listen to us. Look, we know what we're talking about. We're there every day. We're doing it. We're in the mud. So we appreciate you as always. Check out hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com. And then we will be back with you next week talking opening weekend and then previewing the college baseball series in Arlington, Riley. Big week next week, a big episode of the Diamond Hogs podcast. So make sure you don't miss it. And thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Diamond Hogs podcast. Follow the guys on Twitter at Choate Mason and at DRStew32.